in some senses, you know, like you're just kind of doing your own thing. And we have that opportunity to do this in the United States. We can do our own thing for, you know, any length of time we want, but that's not going to profit us, and it's not going to bring an upgrade. Amen? And I want an upgrade in my life, in Jesus' name. From this time forth, throughout all the days of my life, I want an upgrade. So my hope is, I just told you about my upgrade, is that my hope is that I'm going to live and hear the voice of the Lord all the days of my life, and that He would bless, hallelujah, that He would bless me, would bless my family. As Joseph was just speaking to us, it's, you know, we put Him first. When we put Him first, things begin to happen. And it goes on, just the evidence of things not seen. What's not seen in your life right now? What kind of hope do you have in the things that are not seen? You know, we've seen some really powerful things, but we have to step out into the unseen. And sometimes you step out in faith, and it seems like foolishness, as Pastor Tom was talking about, you know, logic. Nothing's logical about this, but you step out because the evidence is in the unseen. Amen? And if you dare to step out in the unseen, then it will develop and you'll go, wow. And we've seen some pretty crazy things. I mean, this year, from the beginning of this year up to this time, it's been a very different year for me, but just stepping out and doing some things, it's like, wow, God shows up. Yeah. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I bent down, I picked up a piece of concrete, throw on another piece of concrete, and a big chunk of concrete come and hit me in the face. It was off, if you understand forks going into concrete, Adam was lifting it up, and when he backed out, there was tension, and it hit me in the face on this side of my head, and just knocked me completely out, and the blood was flying, and Adam was feeling bad. I'm just hearing him, sorry, sorry, Dad, sorry. I said, man, it's not your fault. But, you know, things happen, and I'm going, well, what's my upgrade to this, Lord? You know, and, you know, I was thinking, well, it could have hit me right in the center of my head, and I would have had two black eyes, and who knows what it went from there. But you know what? The Lord is faithful. And if we would push through but the enemy wants to do something pretty crazy. But we're not serving the enemy. God's wanting to do something great. And I believe that this week is the most important week for community church, surrounding area, and for this area, because we're investing in our youth. We're investing in our children. And I think there's about 50, I think we have about 50 kids coming. Could you imagine 50 kids that you're going to be able to influence? I'm real excited about it. But we don't see that until we step out and do it. And Sandra was gathering all the food and stuff like that. Can you see that? No, I can't see it, but I'm going to see it. I'm going to be up there and encouraging the kids and encouraging the teacher. Thank you, Pastor Tom and Jen, for taking this endeavor on. We know that it's going to be a very, very powerful time. Thank you for all those that are going to be serving, cooking. You know, when you take a look at all the meal that goes into these things, you know, 50 kids three times a day, it's quite a deal. But the Lord's going to do some fantastic things. He's doing fantastic. I shouldn't even say he's going to. He's doing fantastic things. Amen? And this is how the elders gained a good report. And you are the elders of this church. You've laid down your life here. You've spent finances. You've given your tithe. You are the elders saying, hey, you know what? I'm going for a good report. Yeah. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. What are we hoping for today? I'm hoping that there's going to be such an outbreak of revival. I'm hoping. And then if we hope, we'll have to step out in that, because I believe the giftings and callings of God are upon each of your lives. And I'm not talking, you know, Pastor Tom, he's going to be here for a long, long time, because this is what they call an apostolic work of the Lord. This is why Pastor Jim and, and Mary and Sandra and myself and others have stayed here because we've been called. We're not going anywhere. Our calling is here to Thief River Falls. And as many years, but that doesn't mean that we're in charge of anything. It just means we're doing our part. And Pastor Tom now is coming in, and he's doing his part. Bethany, you're doing your part. People are coming in. Joseph was sent from Liberia. He's going to do his part. I believe he's going to be ordained here in this ministry because churches in this area, Liberian churches, are springing up all over the place, and we want to be part of that. Amen? Hallelujah. So get ready to go to Haiti and get ready to go to Liberia and anywhere and everywhere. So I just encourage you today. The goodness of God is leading us into another path called the hope of glory, the hope that we have. And you know what? You won't see it unless you step into it. Once you step into it, it's going to be revealed to you. Thank you for your testimony of your tithe, sending that the first check. You send in giving the tithe and sending it. And God bless you. May the Lord pour out your blessings. And the kids and stuff in Liberia, your family issues, whatever's going on, God, we believe that you're going to do a mighty work in Joseph's life. We have Dar Smith with us. She's going to encourage us in the Lord. I want to say that Dar came. I think I known her for really known her for about 4 or 5 years in a real deep sense. But something that has went on. It used to be called Women's Glow back in 2005. I think they made the switch. Was it about that time? Yeah. Well, it's to take a whole organization which was influencing about 17 million people, okay? And Graham Cook, you know, we've listened to Graham Cook. Graham Cook has stepped into that role, leadership role, with the Aglow. And men and women are coming together. And you think about 17 million people switching. You know, sometimes it's hard to get 50 people to switch their mindset. But they have switched their mindset, and they're literally changing the earth by taking away the negativity of the enemy's camp and saying, we serve God. We serve a good God. He leads us into repentance by his goodness. Amen. And so he's a good God today. And whatever you've been into, God's still a good God. Amen. And he can take you out of any areas, and he can put you in the area that he needs to put you. I've been reading the Kings and Old Testament stuff. You know what? Every last one of them failed somewhere along the line. But you know, let's not look at our failures. Let's look at all of the years that they did serve and had some great things. So Dar, would you come? Let's give her a community church welcome. God bless you. She's going to be at the camp until Wednesday, and we've got some other people from Canada.
Hey.
Yeah, hey, yeah. Bless you.
Okay.
All right.
Well, it's good to be back. It's like coming home here. And I feel like I'm just part of you, so like get over it. So, and so I felt like this morning, I was asking God, I said, Lord, what would you say to these people this morning? And I felt like the Lord is giving something specific in regards to your church. And so if I could speak that to you this morning. I felt like the Lord was saying that you are a force in the region. Okay, you are a force in the region. And I know a lot of times we don't recognize the influence that we have over other people and over different things. But the Lord is saying for this particular gathering, for this particular flock of people, that he has called you to be a force in the region. And I feel like he says that you are an atmospheric conditioner. He says you are an atmospheric conditioner. In other words, you have the power and the ability to change atmosphere in this region. You can condition what is in this region. And so you can decide, he has given you the authority to decide what belongs in this region and what does not belong in this region. And I felt like he said, you are off the grid. Okay? And what he means by that is that you are under the radar. You are off the grid. And so, in other words, he's given you the ability to be undercover. They don't know what's hitting them. So the enemy in the area does not know what's hitting them because you are off the grid. And so what God is saying is that you are an atmospheric conditioner. You can change the atmosphere, and all of a sudden the enemy is going, well, what just happened? And so he said, but also you are grid expanders. In other words, your influence is going to increase. Your influence is going to increase. The one thing I would caution you with is do not look at numbers to do this. Do not look at numbers to do this, because he's not dealing with numbers. He's dealing with an assignment. And that's what it is. He says it's an assignment. He's given you an assignment. He said it's about your assignment. And he says the one thing I also believe that he's saying is don't try and fit in, because you won't. Don't try and fit in. You're not going to be like Joe Blow Church down the street. You are not like, your assignment does not fit the other church's assignments. I'm not saying that their assignment is not important. It is. But your assignment is totally different. Your assignment is totally different. So don't try and fit in and be like other churches. Don't, you know, even for you as an individual, stop trying to fit in. And so, and then he says, I felt like he said, your assignments personally and your assignments corporately will not look like other people's assignments. So, and what has happened is the enemy has tried over the years to clone everybody. God never cloned a single thing he ever created. He never cloned it. There's not one flower that's exactly the same. There's not one molecule of anything that's exactly the same. He never cloned a thing. It's not God. So to clone a work of God would be totally stupid. And so what God is saying, that each and every one of us have an assignment, each and every one of us have a calling, and you as a church corporately have a specific call for this area, for this region, but not only just for this region. It's also an apostolic assignment to impact the world. I believe that the Lord will take you into nations and you will come undercover and they won't even know what hit them when you go in there. There might be times where you might be sent into a region in the world and you will go in and you will come out and they won't even know that you've been there, but something changed because you were there. And so it's almost like a covertness that God is preparing. It's like the spies that were sent out to invade the land of Canaan. They were just coming in, coming out. And so I feel like the Lord is saying that this is part of the word that I feel like God is saying about you corporately as a church. Don't worry about your numbers. Don't worry about them. He says, no, it's not about your numbers. It's about your assignment. Right. Did you ever notice that special forces teams aren't usually large? Right. You ever notice that in the Army, in the military, that special forces teams aren't usually large? True. You know, I'm not saying you won't be large. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that you'll notice that sometimes God is calling and assigning us, but we cannot get intimidated by lack of numbers. Because it's about the assignment. So I want us this morning to go to your Bible in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Sandy, she said she was going to give me a list of everybody I was supposed to prophesy over, what I was supposed to speak on, etc. She's got to do it, so She's such a boss, I'm telling you. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And Jesus is teaching here. It's one of his first sermons that he was preaching. And so he's teaching this morning. So who has Matthew 6, 33? You've already talked enough, okay? Yeah, okay.
But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things that shall be added to you.
And all these things shall be added to you. So seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So if we look at that statement, what is tagged onto that is, and his righteousness. So we're not only first to seek the kingdom of God, but we're to seek his righteousness. And I'm going, okay, what's righteousness? And it's not righteousness of us, it's his righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So we've learned through Game Changers, we've learned through different things about our identity and our assignment, etc. And it's the first thing is, the first lesson in Game Changers is, how does heaven see us? How are we known in heaven? And so his righteousness is about how God is the one that's right. How God is the one that's correct. How God is the one that holds the truth. And so our lives have to be lined up to not the way, and Jake referred to it, and Jeff prophesied about it. You know, it's like, no, we have to line up to the what he says, to what he believes about you. What he believes my assignment is. What he believes your assignment corporately is. Because it's a righteous standard. It's, in other words, we're saying God is right. Righteousness means being right. Being right, being correct. And if we look at even a carpenter or any other thing, if a corner is not right, well, the whole building is off. The whole building. You can't get the walls squared. You can't get the room squared or anything because it's not right. So there is a rule that God says, and it's called his righteousness. In other words, he made us right.
That's right.
That was very good, Tom. You're doing good. Yes. Okay. So God is right. He's correct. He's righteous. He makes righteous decisions. And he knows you righteously. And he's not depending. You see, the whole thing about Jesus and what Jesus did is that he took our sins and he put them on the cross with him. And at that moment, do you know that at that moment, we became righteous?
Come on.
We became righteous at that moment. It wasn't the things that we did. It was what he did. And God already, when the sins were on the cross and Jesus died on the cross, he looked down at us and he said, now they are right. Now they are righteous. And we think we've based a lot of our Christianity on what we do. The decisions that we have made and all the rest of it, it's wrong. It's his righteousness. It's his righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So each and every one of us has a unique design and function. What I'd like us to do is to go to Romans chapter 4, please. Romans chapter 4. It's just before Romans 5. Yeah. So, and this is about Abraham. I'm going to read to you in, what version does everybody have here? King James. Well, get over your King James self. oh, forevermore. I've got to work on this congregation. Like, what is with the King James stuff? Man. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, okay? Yeah, I know. Because with the King James, everything is lisping. Thus saith the Lord. So, okay. Abraham, humanly speaking, it says, the founder of our Jewish nation, what did he discover about being made right with God? If his good deeds had made him acceptable to God, he would have had something to boast about. But that was not God's way. For the scripture tells us Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous. All Abraham did was believe God. And God said, hey, you're righteous. You're righteous. So we look at, it's so complicated. We've made Christian life so complicated. Because we've made it a whole thing about perfection. Of being right all the time. Of living right. By my own righteousness. My own way of thinking, etc. And God says, no, you can't do that. It won't work. I have made you right. And you know what? Abraham believed him. And God says, oh, well, you're righteous then. And this is the thing, is you see, it's seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's the plumb line. That's the standard. What God says and what God believes. What God says and what God believes. It's not about what we believe. It's about what God believes. But when we begin to believe what God believes, he looks at us and says, you are righteous. Amen. So it says, Abraham believed God and he was righteous. Amen. What does it say in the King James? Same thing? No? Oh, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, okay. I knew it was superior. Okay. When people work, here's a key thing, verse 4. When people work, their wages are not a gift. Okay, Joe, this morning you said you worked for Tom. Okay? So when he pays you, is it a gift? No, it's a wage because you earned it, right? That's right. With God, everything he deals with us is a gift. Otherwise, if we are trying to be righteous, if we are doing this and doing that, we're actually earning a wage. It says, for Abraham believed God and he was declared righteous. But you see, the difference between God and the enemy, it says the wages of sin is death. The devil deals with wages. Okay, the devil deals with wages. He's trying to make you earn your credits with God. He says, he's trying to make you earn it. And God says, no, you don't have to earn it. I gave it to you. I gave it to you. It's totally different. God always, that's why it's the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Okay, it's the gifts of the fivefold, the pastor, teacher, evangelist, apostle, whatever. They're gifts given to the church. Okay, so they're gifts. God does everything through gifts. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift. That's how he deals with you. Why? Because he's a giver. Gift, giver. And that's the way God is. And so what we've done, even our salvation, you can't work and get your salvation. Jesus died on the cross. The minute he died, you were righteous. Why? Because of the heart of God for creation, for the heart of God for us. And actually, it goes down to the very first assignment that God gave us. It is also the way he created each and every one of us, and we have such huge value to God that he said, I don't want to see humanity wrecked by sin. He says, that's not how I see them. They're so valuable to me that the minute Jesus died on the cross, boom, we were back to where we started. We are back to the place where we were righteous because, you see, we were created in the image and the likeness of God. Is God a sinner? Well, neither are we. Neither are we. So if we're created in the image and the likeness of God, God sees us through those lenses. And everything that attacked us, everything that maligned us, that made us not look like God, Jesus took care of. The minute he died, and God looks and says, ooh, they're righteous. They're righteous. Okay, is that not what the Bible says? Amen. But we can work at it. If you want to work at it, you can. We have free will.
That's right.
And a lot of churches are in the working for righteousness, trying to do this and not do this. The shoulda, coulda, wouldas, you know, shoulda done this, I coulda done this, I would have done that. But you know what? It won't change God's opinion of you. His opinion is set. Jesus paid the price. And he says, you're righteous. Now, Abraham believed God. That's the key. Why don't we believe the way God believes? We need to believe the way God believes. Okay, so here we are, still back in Romans 4. But people are counted as righteous not because of their work, but because of their faith in God who forgives sinners. See, that was easy. That's New Living Translation. That was easy to understand. So, okay, just so. David also spoke of this when he described the happiness of those who are declared righteous without working for it. Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to tell you guys, every one of you sitting in this room this morning, if you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, if that's what you believe and you've embraced that, there is nothing wrong with you. It doesn't matter if you lost your temper with your wife or your husband this morning. Okay, that is already, the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what is righteousness? Righteousness is alignment.
Yeah.
Righteousness is alignment. So when a corner in a building is correct and it's on a right angle, notice it's called right angle, then the house can be built properly. And so here we have coming into righteousness is also embracing the way God sees me. If we are condemning ourselves, if we're doing things, all we like sheep have gone astray, we've gone everyone to his own way. Okay? If we are at a place where some things are causing us to believe that we're this, when God says that we're this, then that is unrighteousness. Okay? So what happens is the enemy will come in and he will whisper lies in our head and he will say, you are this, you're a failure. You're never going to amount to anything. You are this or you are that. What he's causing you to be is to come out of righteousness and to start believing in unrighteousness. Because, you see, in God's mind, Jesus made us righteous. So, unrighteousness is misalignment. Misalignment with the way God sees us. And so when we try through our own efforts to be right, we're not trusting the faith of God. We're not trusting what God believes in. We're trusting in our own efforts to make us right. Like we've learned that in the late 1500s, early 1600s, a guy by the name of John Calvin came and introduced a lot of belief systems into the church. And actually what he did is he polluted a lot of churches around the world. His theories actually contaminated a lot of churches because he believed it was all to do with the way you behave. It was all the way you don't do this, you do this, etc. It was all rules and regulations. In fact, he had such a strong dogma of belief, and get this is historically correct, is that he, this one group of pastors, there's about 100 pastors, approached him in the early 1600s and said to him, "We believe in that the Bible says total immersion." But because they disagreed with him, because he figured it was by sprinkling, he said, "You believe total immersion? I'll give you total immersion." And he drowned every one of them. Now, this is the history of John Calvin. Okay, so he was a guy that believed in dogma, in doctrine, and strictness that is totally out of line with the heart of God and the character of God. God is not up there with his holy gavel waiting for us to do something wrong. As far as he is concerned, we could not keep it right anyway. He didn't intend for us to do it. He said, no, he's putting God in us. And God in us will make us holy. In fact, God in us, you are holy. How could a holy God dwell in an unholy container? Come on. Think it through. If God is in us, you are pure. You are holy. Even Danny. Isn't that amazing? Wow. And so if we are looking at, this is what I heard the Lord ask this morning. What's keeping us back? What's keeping us back? Because each and every one of you are a fulfillment of the plan of God. Each and every one of you have been destined and have been planned by God from before the foundation of the world. And each and every one of you are a fulfillment of the plan of God. And he's waiting for his plans to be fulfilled. In fact, actually, to be honest with you, he's already seen you fulfilled. So what it does with us is we come into alignment with the way he sees us. So I'm asking you, who are you? Who are you? Who does God say that you are? Because the minute that you believe what God says that you are, you have aligned yourself and you are righteous. Because you are aligning yourself up with how God designed you. And the only thing that prevents us from that is belief. It's not your actions, it's your belief. Who does God say that I am? Who does God say you are, Jake?
I'm the righteousness of Christ.
You are the righteousness of Christ. That's what who you are. What else are you?
Well, I'm everything that God has made me to be. I mean, I've got so many different things, you know.
He could have been a politician, really, the way he's just kind of circling. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I am. Running.
Are you an apostle?
I am an apostle, yes.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
Good.
For him not to be an apostle would be unrighteous.
Yeah, that's true.
Because he's aligning up. You can't, the guy oozes it, for heaven's sakes. You know, out of the abundance of his mouth, he speaks. And that's who he is. And why? Because God has called him to be a righteous son of God. He's called. Yes, that's the first thing we have to realize. Who am I in relation to God? I am a beloved daughter of the Most High God. That's who I am. My first identity is that. That I am righteous before him. Because Jesus made me righteous. That's my first identity. My second identity is, what is my assignment? What is my assignment? His assignment is to be an apostle. That's who he is. For him to say, oh no, I can't say that. That is just too arrogant. Actually, that is unrighteous. And the reason is because that is exactly who he is. For a carrot to say it's a carrot is righteous. What do you think is going on in the world today? What do you think is happening? This transgender stuff and all the rest of this stuff that's going around the world right now, what do you think that is? That's where we're not believing who God says that we are.
That's right. Come on.
Why? And when, I'm telling you, you know, when something, I was weird growing up. Well, I probably am still, but don't be saying anything.
I promise.
Okay. When I was a teenager, I accepted the Lord as my Savior, and I said the prayer. You know the sinner's prayer? By the way, it's not in the Bible, but just I said it anyway, just in case. It worked, okay? But at that point, I knew that even at a young teenager's age, there was something inside of me that was, I couldn't get away from the call of God in my life. It was something that was just drawing me. And it was weird because I was young. I was young when I began to feel it. I felt like this pulling. And at that time, I don't know, it was by revelation, God showed me the only way that I would be happy is to do what he asked me to do and to be who he asked me to be. I knew the only thing that would make me happy was that. And somehow I got that revelation as a young teenager. And so I started programming. When I accepted the Lord and I was baptized, I was actually at camp. I got saved at camp, baptized in the Holy Spirit at camp, baptized in water at camp, ran away from snakes at camp. Yeah, it was great. Anyway, but that's where I got my initial Christian experience. And it was there where God really started to say, you have a very unique calling, and you know, in my heart was so connected to it. And I was just like so diligent. And in those days, all I believed in is if I behaved right, then I would please God. And so every time I did something wrong, I put myself into absolute condemnation and all the rest of this stuff until God began to teach me differently. But at the same time, my heart was after God. And you know what? I could go and when I was in high school, they had these in Canadian high schools. I don't know if they do it here or not. They have these tests where they, what do they call them, stupid things? Yeah, aptitude. And so I came in and sat down with the, would you quit coughing? So I went into this, the guidance counselor, and he sat down with me to help me decide what my career would be. And so I had all these marks all the way across the page, but there were three marks that were right at 100%. And he wasn't talking to me about those marks. He was ignoring those marks. And finally, he yapped and yapped and yapped about all those other grades. And I just said to him, well, what about these three things? There were three blue lines, and they were right at 100%. He said, oh, you're not interested in that. I said, why am I not interested in that? And he says, well, actually, you'd make an excellent mechanic. And he says, your mechanical ability is right on top. And so, and I thought, you know what? He's probably right. I wouldn't, you know. I love mechanics. Actually, when I was in nursing school, my favorite class was anatomy and physiology because it just made sense. You know, the kidneys like this and the heart's like this. It's like a carburetor, you know. And it's just, you know, all the rest of this stuff. So it made a lot of sense to me. But what God was doing is he was designing me. Number one, when I was in grade 5, I did the very first speech publicly. I had the whole class laughing and the teacher. Never clued in that maybe God was leading me that direction. Because this is what God is saying. There's something inside of us that draws us, that lures us, that attracts us, that puts us into a destiny, that puts us into a calling. And when we are doing that, we are actually in a place of righteousness. Because we're aligning our lives up with how God sees us. What about you, Mary? Who are you?
I'm a daughter of God.
First of all, she's a daughter of God.
I have a prophetic gift.
She has prophetic gifts.
I am called to teach.
She's called to teach. Okay. She's got a prophetic gift. She's called to teach. She's also someone that storms gates. Okay, she storms gates. You know the ones that are fully in battle armor and they take a battering ram and slam it against closed gates? That's who she is. That's who she is. That's how heaven sees her. You see, and this is why. The minute that she gets into intercession, don't tell me you're not an intercessor because I know you are. The minute she is, it's like that ramming rod. Bam! Bam! Open the gates. Open the gates for the Lord. Open the gates for the Lord. You know, and what is that? That is the righteous part of her doing what God has called her to be. And that's why it's important for us to know how God sees us. But what is holding us back? The number one thing that's holding us back is we haven't taken the time to find out what he wants of us. And the second thing is we don't believe it. We don't believe it. We'll say, no, I'm not this, and I'm not good at that, and I'm just wah, 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 wah. And that's why we get the wah, wahs. No. We get the enemy has been condemning us and saying, but you've done this, that you've did this. And so and I feel like the Lord was saying this morning, shake it off.
Come on.
I felt like he was saying this morning, shake that stuff off. I was going to say something else, but I won't. I'm nice. Okay, shake it off.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like Samson. His calling was to be a deliverer of Israel. And then when they put the sashes on him and they tied him up, etc., all the things, what did he do? He rose up in the morning and he shook it off until that last one where he cut his hair. And I think the Lord is saying to us, what is holding us back? Shake it off. It's time to move on. Because you see, all righteousness, rightness is what God says that is right. It's not the accuser of the brethren or the sistren. Either the brethren or the sistren. It's none of those. It's to do everything with what God says that we are. What are you doing now? Oh, okay. Wow. It's the baby. So the Lord is saying, shake it off. I feel like that's what he said this morning. Shake it off. Righteousness is that standard that is right in God's eyes. And he looks at us and so when we line up with righteousness, righteousness hasn't anything to do with perfection. It has nothing to do with perfection. None of us are perfect. Well, Danny's almost there. But, you know, he's close. But, yeah. But you see, this is the thing. Righteousness is lining up with the way God says, what he says that we are. And you can boldly, well, what am I? I'm an apostolic teacher. That's who I am. I'm a daughter of God that is righteous, that thought for years I was not quite measuring up, not quite righteous, not quite good enough. That's who I thought I was for years. But I can stand before you knowing that Jesus Christ, at the moment he died on the cross, he declared me righteous at that moment. And so what I'm doing is I'm believing with the Lord. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's interesting. John 6:29 says this, that our work is to believe. Okay, there's no other work. Just believe. Do you believe what I believe about you? Godfrey Bertel sings that song. Do you believe what I believe about you? And this is why. What is God doing right now? I'm telling you, the stage is being set in the world right now, where we have to come to a place where we know who we are. Otherwise, we will flounder. Because even though Donald Trump is setting things in order in the States, and he is, I wish he'd come and visit our prime minister, honestly. But I'm telling you, persecution is going to come. And it is coming. In Canada right now, our prime minister has legalized bestiology. Yeah, talk about stupid, eh? The spirit of stupid. You know, it legalized all this other stuff that's going on. Why? Because it's becoming more and more unpopular to be Christian. But you know what? I have some statistics. We are the fastest growing people in the world. Wow. Christianity. It is exponentially outgrowing Muslims by huge numbers. Okay? That's the fact. But if we believe the news, we're going to get discouraged. I was at my hairdresser's, honestly, I go to the hairdresser once in a while. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah? Of course, you have to say that because I'm here.
That's right.
Okay, so. Anyway. So I was at my hairdresser's, and she was talking about all this, Islam stuff and everything else, and she was studying this and looking this stuff up on Google and everything else, and she was oppressed. She was depressed. And I finally said to her, I said, Robin, start looking at the right news. And she said, what do you mean? And I said, where is it that the enemy will ever overtake God? I said, he's a created being. God created him. Who's going to be smarter, the created being or God? I said, start studying him. Start looking at him. Start looking at the way God is. And I said, and all of a sudden you will not feel overwhelmed. You will not feel like you're coming under it. Why? Because you see, even though it looks like the enemy is rising, he's not, because we're rising. But you see, here's the thing. God is raising up a righteous standard. And you know what that righteous standard is? It's you. Us being the carriers of God. And he's raising us up. That's why it's not. You think it's prideful? Do you have a garden?
Yeah.
Okay, do you have like vegetables in it?
Yeah.
What kind of vegetables do you have in it?
I have tomatoes and green beans and peas and carrots.
Right. So do you think it's right for a tomato to call itself a green bean?
No.
No.
Totally different color.
Yeah. So if that tomato, like, decided, oh, no, I'm a green bean. I'm just a green bean. And you look at it and say, well, you taste like a tomato. You look like a tomato. I think you're a tomato. Is it arrogant for the tomato to say it's a tomato? Then it's not arrogant for you to say what God says that you are. God created the tomato. So it's not arrogant. And so this is why we have to get over our insecure self. We have to get over our condemnation. It's interesting, a few years ago, God gave me a revelation in the book of Genesis. And when Adam and Eve were in the garden and the serpent came in and deceived them into eating of the fruit of the tree of what?
Knowledge
of good and evil. And so afterwards, their reaction to eating that fruit was what? First of all, they hid from God. And then the second thing is, what did they do? They covered themselves where, Jim? The private parts. Right. Okay, so the Lord, what he did is he took me to Ephesians chapter 6 then, to the armor of God. And what armor covers that part? Truth. And so what happened is where Adam and Eve covered themselves was here. In the New Testament, talks about the different armor, and he says that armor is truth. So what Adam did when he covered himself with fig leaves and Eve, what they did is they developed their own truth to make themselves presentable to God. And God spoke to them and said this, the first thing that he said, where are you, Adam? Adam, where are you? And what was the next thing he said? Who said you were naked? Who told you that? Who said you were naked? Because you see, in God's eyes, he still saw Adam the way he always was. Who said you were naked? Adam developed his own truth, which was fig leaves. How many fig leaves are we believing in? How many fig leaves are we believing in that are making us righteous before God? If I do this, if I don't do this, what is keeping us from the truth? What is keeping us from the truth? God is declaring and has declared us righteous because of Jesus. What if we believed? You see, it's not what I believe that's most important. It's what he believes that's most important. Could I ask you to stand, please? Paul, David said in the Old Testament, he said, search me, O God. I want you to search your beliefs right now. I want you to stand before the Lord and ask him, what is it that I'm not believing correctly about myself? He said, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And it says in John 3 that God sent not his Son in the world to condemn the world. There's no condemnation in heaven. And there shouldn't be any in our heart. But is it preventing us from believing we're righteous? Who does God say you are? Father, every religious lie that is preventing us, Lord, from fulfilling our assignment, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask that that would be broken right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And says, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. In Jesus' name. And Lord, it says in your word, I sent my word to heal your disease. And Lord, this morning, I speak a word over every one of us that are believing junk that's not true about ourselves and is definitely not true about you, because you're a good God. Father, help us to take the next step of belief, to step into our destiny, to step into our future, to come into alignment with righteousness, because I'm going to believe about myself the way you believe, Lord. Because Jesus declared me righteous. Jesus' name. Just look at him. Talk to him. How am I known to you, God? What did you purpose me to be? Secure me in the knowledge that I am loved and totally accepted by you, standing before you right now. Secure me in that knowledge, God. Break every part that feels not accepted. Shatter it this morning, God. Shatter it, God. Shatter it in this room. Shatter it in this region, God. And Father, even as you led Abraham, and it was his faith that made him righteous, I take a step this morning to begin to believe that I'm accepted, that I'm holy, that I am righteous, and I take a step into believing this is what you've purposed me to be. Whatever that desire in your heart, whatever that call. Even though Abraham had all these prophetic words given to him about being the father of many nations, it seemed like it was hindered and hindered and hindered. But Abraham kept believing God. Lord, give me the belief to believe. Father, I thank you that you have cleansed us, that you have washed us. We just need to look to Jesus. We just need to look to him. See the kindness in his eyes, the acceptance in his heart. He's not angry. He's just loving. Jesus' name. Father, I pronounce peace. Father, I pronounce joy and love over this place, Lord, in Jesus' name. I pronounce destiny, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. How many has never had a prophetic word spoken over your life? Anyone? Everybody has? Okay. Can we pray for you? Okay. Do you want to come up? Jeff? Yes. What's your name? Rhonda. Okay. Now, you out there, pray and ask God. What are you saying about Rhonda? What are you saying about Rhonda? It's not just the pastors and the prophets in the house, and you are just as called of God.
That's right.
You have a calling in your life as well. You're just as called. In Jesus' name. I see a picture of you kneading bread. And it's like God is saying that you've been working some things through in your life, and it's just like you're kneading and you're kneading and you're kneading it, working some things out, trying to understand. I feel like it's been a tough go for you, and you've been kneading and working these things. But the Lord says there's a process that you've been going through, and the whole time he's not way over there and you're trying to reach him. He says, no, daughter, he says, I'm so close to you. I'm in you. I've never abandoned you. I have never let you go. I'm building you. I'm molding you. Not because there's flaws, it's just no. I'm creating you. I'm making you into this beautiful vessel. And he says, I already see the finished product. I already see it, daughter. Would you like to research and study things? It's because you're a teacher. And the Lord is saying that I have created this curiosity in your heart. And he says it's an insatiable thirst to understand, to get to know. And you're kind of like an explorer. He says where he's calling you to explore, to go into areas that you don't know, to not understanding. And he's saying, I've called you to be that explorer. And you won't be happy unless that's what you're doing, because that's how he created you. And so he says, right now, there is He looks at you. There's nothing wrong with you. He says, it's just that drawing. There's something pulling you. And it's him. He's pulling you. He's drawing you. That's what he's doing. Because to you, actually, he says, you are my prized possession. And that's what he's doing. You're a gem. You're a gem. Yes. Amen.
And I just see the spirit of condemnation. We break it off your life. The enemy's pointed out everything that you think that you should be condemned for. And God's just saying, they're my blessings that I sent to you. Whether it be your children, whether it be your situational areas, he's bringing you through that time. And it's even areas of tribulation where it says, God's saying, count it all joy. Because right now you're just saying, well, what's so joyful about it? But he's saying, count it all joy. And in that joy and that understanding, you're going to start seeing the deliverance of God and no more condemnation. We take it off of you now in the name of Jesus. And that you begin to walk in the freedom, and your kids are a great blessing. And however the enemy wants to turn that, God said, you are the righteousness of Christ. And them kids fall right in with you. They're the righteousness of Christ. Hallelujah. You know, at this time, what we're going to do is we're going to dismiss. If you're wanting prayer in any way,